In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the resurrection of our Lord is in the past, and I, Mark, or more fully, John Mark, would like to ask you a question. How do things seem now? Is your experience like that recorded in the Gospel of the Apostle John? There, after the resurrection, Thomas is disappointed that he hasn't seen Jesus in the flesh. Jesus then appears to him personally. He tells him to put his fingers in the marks of the nails and to thrust his hand into his side, which Thomas is able to do literally. And then Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." It hasn't been like that, right? I didn't think so. Your experience has probably been pretty ordinary, hasn't it? Well, it's for people just like you that I wrote my gospel, what you call the gospel according to St. Mark. I wrote it for those who haven't had a direct sensory experience of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen again to my full post-resurrection account in what you call chapter 16. And after the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices in order that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they go to the tomb after the sun had risen. And they kept saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the door of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they observed that the stone was rolled away. You know, it was very large. And upon entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were astonished. And he says to them, "Don't be astonished. You seek Jesus, the Nazarene, the crucified one. He has arisen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he has told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and amazement had them in their grip. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What do the women, not to mention the disciples, see with their own eyes? Not the Lord Jesus Christ. What they see is a human being, a young man sitting in the tomb. And what do they receive? Not a physical demonstration of our Lord. Rather, what they receive is a word of promise. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And isn't it just so now with us? You don't see Jesus now with your very own faculty of sight. You don't receive a physical demonstration of himself. But you do hear his promises with your ears. And you do receive those promises through men. And in addition, on the basis of that word, you will see him one day with your own two eyes, just as he promised that you would when he said, "You will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." And that promise is ever sure. So sure, in fact, that it is more sure than the experience of sight. Peter, whom I served in his latter years, as you may know, understood this very well. He has written in what you call his second epistle something quite surprising. After he describes the magnificence of the transfiguration, which he saw with his own two eyes, he says, "We hold the prophetic word to be more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention as to a light shining in a dark place. Now, if the prophetic word is more sure than what we see, how much more the word from our very Lord himself? So rejoice, Christians, one and all. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And he will come again in glory. Of that you may be sure. On that you have his word. Then finally, we will see him face to face. We praise his holy name. Amen.